Take your Bible, if you would, this morning and turn to Psalm 42. If you weren't here for the Bible study this morning, we covered the whole rest of the psalm from chapter verse 3 on, but saved the first two verses for you this morning, and Lord willing to look at this. Psalm 42, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And let's pray as we begin. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can open your eternal word. But to preach it, Lord, and to adequately represent what is given here, who is able to do that? We pray, O Lord, that you will bless this morning, that with faltering words and with the best that I can do this morning, you would bring your best, Lord, in the power of the Spirit of the Lord to work in every heart and every life. Surely there's a blessing here for us, and surely there's an encouragement. We pray, Father, that you might minister to us. This time might be aware of your working in our own hearts and lives. Hear thy voice and believe thy truth as is given here in the Bible. Bless this time, Father, and to reach your hand out to us, we pray. Make this a holy time to be with you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible talks about a heart here. H-A-R-T, not the heart inside of you. It's a small deer in the land of Israel known as the heart. In this case, it's referring to a female. Female deer. And so beautiful and so gentle and so harmless. My wife doesn't particularly like deer anymore. Now, I was raised over here on what was the third concession of Delaware Township. It's now Bell's Road. And we really had two farms. We had the home place and then Grandma and Grandpa's farm, all one farm when I grew up. We took the fences out. So there was two, most usually on a farm, there's almost always some bush. You city folks might call it woods or forest, but it's bush to us country people. So we must have had between the two. There was a bush behind our house, and then there was a bush in the far corner as well. And it was nice to see the deer. And they used to, you know, walk the field in the summer and in the fall, just before you might be there with the corn picker. That's the corn picker. Okay, I am old. We picked corn in my day. We didn't combine it. But you see all the stalks broken down. The deer would take the headland and maybe six or eight rows further in and eat just about every cob of corn in there. But you like to see them. It's nice to see some wildlife. And deer tend to engender, unless you're my wife who ran into one and believes that the purpose of them all is to run out in front of you when you're driving down the road. But for the rest of us who haven't had that negative experience about deer, we probably feel very positively towards them and like to see deer. And they tend to be very gentle, and the female deer seems to be a kind animal, I guess you would say, for a wild animal, and harmless. Our Lord said in Matthew 10:16, he said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Harmless. Is there anything more harmless than a dove? And while many people look at the female deer, the heart, as a picture of harmlessness, the Lord said the ultimate picture of harmlessness is the dove. Now around here we have the mourning dove. You hear its sad call early in the morning. And if you frighten it, it takes off like it's got a belt loose and is drive somewhere. It squeaks, squeak, 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 squeak as it goes away.
it's a very unique bird, but again, a very harmless picture of harmlessness, and such a gentle and a beautiful bird, actually. And the Lord would have us to be that, without guile, without not misleading someone, but honest, telling the truth, free from evil, innocent in our service for Him. We are not cunning and crafty, we have honesty and integrity. Now those words are really abused today. A lot of companies have slogans about their honesty and their integrity. And yet the people that work there are corrupt and dishonest. Some of them anyway. And so it doesn't really fly too well that way. But it should be written about the child of God. Honesty and goodness. Be as the heart. Look to harm no one. We should seek the salvation of others, not their harm. And hence the term gentleman. I sometimes say to the guys at work when I come, morning gentleman. I use that term loosely. But to be a gentleman. The Bible says here about the heart that the heart panteth after the water brooks. The small creeks, we would call them, from the farm. You've got a creek. A small brook, a little bit of water running somewhere. There was those in Israel from one place to another, maybe from an artesian well or from a little stream coming to the top of the ground off of side of a hill. She pants and longs for the water brooks and desires them. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O Lord. To have that desire that the heart is panting, she is just longing on a dry and a hot day to get to where the cool water is, to get to that which satisfies the soul, to have in our hearts a longing for God. A longing to serve Him, a longing to be close to Him. What's in our hearts this morning? So often what is in our hearts is the things of the world. So often in our hearts are the cares of life, Jesus said. These are one of the things that choke the word and keep it from being fruitful. That we are surrounded with the cares of life and with material things. And the heart panteth after the water brooks with great desire. She wants to get to the water that will soothe her and comfort her and sustain her. Does not the heart of a child of God want the Lord? Do we not want to be close to Him? And do we not take care to confess our sins? Do we not take care to deal with issues? Do we ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything wrong with me? Is there anything between you and I? The hymn writer wrote, nothing between my Lord and the Savior, not of this world's elusive good. I've renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Oh, to have the Lord and the love for the Lord as the key thing in our lives. That will be the love that will be driving us. Not a love for another vehicle, a better house, money in the bank, a secure future for when we retire. All these things that the world is seeking after, but that the one thing about us might be, she loves the Lord, he loves the Lord, and desires to be with him. Desires to be close to him. David's describing that sort of desire as the heart panteth after that water brook. So panteth my soul after thee. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And Dr. Thompson, probably over 100 years ago, wrote a book called The Land and the Book. Dr. Thompson was a British citizen. And he went through the land of Palestine his days. It might even be 150 years ago. I don't know. Time goes by pretty fast. He wrote about the land and how it reflected in the Bible, and about the heart, he wrote this. I have seen large flocks of these panting hearts, or deer, gathered around water brooks in the deserts of central Syria. They were so subdued with thirst that you could approach quite near them before they fled or before they ran away. Now that's quite amazing that a scary wild animal, as a deer tends to be, that you could get quite near it before it would run away because it wanted to be there. It wanted to be where the water was. It wanted the drink so badly. Wonder what is it that is that we want so badly? If I was to ask you, what do you want in your life? What is it you want so badly in your life? I hope you would find that the one thing that you want above all things in this world is to be with the Lord, is to be close to Him, is to desire the presence of the Lord. I got saved when I was between grades 10 and 11 that summer. Then after that, between that and heading off to Bible college and God calling me to preach, I like to spend time in the Bible. I read the Bible before I was saved, but I only read it because John, whose bed backed up to mine in our bedroom, he read the Bible, so I read the Bible. But after I got saved, I didn't read the Bible now because I wanted to look good to somebody else. Now I read the Bible because it was fascinating, powerful, life-changing is the Word of God. I hope you have the habit of reading the Bible every single day and taking time to pray every single day. If you don't have time to read the Bible and pray, you shouldn't have time to do anything else. Not that you have to do that first, because I read my Bible at the end of the day, just because that's how I did it on the farm and got in the habit of doing it. And one time on a Sunday afternoon, I was leaning up against the end post of the pig yard. Fence on the pig yard, big end post. I was leaning up against it, just off from the house. And my mother saw me there, I guess, and she didn't know what I was reading. Of course, you might wonder what a teenage boy might be looking at, away from the house and away from everyone else. So she wandered over to see what I was reading. And of course, I had my King James Bible. And I was taking some extra time because on Sunday, we didn't work on Sunday, even though we were an unchurched family. And we had time to do something on a Sunday afternoon that you wouldn't normally, and so on other days. And so I took some time. I was out there reading the Bible out in the sun on a summer's day when it wasn't too hot. And just to soak in some of it, just because the Bible is so amazing. It's so wonderful to open the Word of God. How do we feel about the Lord? How do we feel about the Scriptures? How do we feel about prayer in our lives? How do we feel, what sort of desire do we have for the Lord Jesus Christ anymore? Do we desire that we wouldn't let anything keep us away from church? We wouldn't let anything keep us away from anything that could bless us and encourage us? Have the disappointments of life, because life is full of disappointments. Have the disappointments of life tamed the thirst for God in you? Has the disappointments of life changed us? Have they brought us closer to the Lord or further away? Has the bitterness of sin taken some of the wildness out of us that we have such a love for the Lord? Is there a true desire for God in our souls? What is the desire of the soul? It just seems to me that this should be the desire of every Christian. Every child of God should feel this way, not just King David. Everybody should feel this way. Everybody should say, I love to be with the Lord. My keen interest is the Lord Jesus Christ and learning about Him and growing and walking with Him, being close to Him. And if we're saved, can it be anything else? My soul thirsts for the living God. Not for pleasure, not for money, not for power, but to be close to God and to live to please Him. Not any God either, because you notice He says, my soul is thirsting for the living God. There's so many false gods of so-called Christianity and paganism in our country. But not any God, the living God, the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. the God of Israel and the God of the Bible, the only living God, the everlasting one. You can't just go to any old church. You have to go to the one where the living God is, like this church, where we know him and we love him and our souls thirst for him. Do you have a thirst for God, or do you really care whether you're close to him or not? Do you have a thirst for God? Are you growing in the Lord? If I was to say to you this morning, how is your walk with God this morning? Are you closer to God now than you have ever been in your life? That's where we should be. Do you have that thirst to be close to God? Can you say, the truth of the matter is, down inside me there's a thirst, but it's a thirst for God. I want to be close to the Lord. I look for his coming. I love him so very much and appreciate all that he has done for me. Do we really want the Lord? And what we thirst for shows a lot about us. You just turn over in your Bible to John chapter 6, please, the Gospel of John. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also see me and believe not. There is something about the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is the one that can fully satisfy us. He's the one that satisfies the thirst. The Lord said, if you come to me, you'll never be hungering for the things of the world. You will find a satisfaction that you cannot find anywhere. If we thirst for the world, perhaps it says that we have not really come to the Lord. For he says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Did we come to him? Did we repent of our sins? Did we change our mind about sins that we could not save ourselves? We could not deal with sin, and we put our faith and trust in him to save us. Did we believe in his blood to wash us as white as snow? Have you been forgiven? Not do you hope to be forgiven someday, but have you been forgiven? And can you say you know it's true? Jesus said, if we come to him and when we're saved, never hunger again. Never thirst again. Not for the things of the world that he's thinking of. Not for what everybody else is living for. Not that kind of hunger and thirst. Not to have that in our lives. In Matthew chapter 5, our Lord spoke also about this. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 6, Matthew 5 and verse 6. Our Lord said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When he said never hunger again, he didn't mean we could there shouldn't be a hunger in our lives. There shouldn't be a hunger for worldly things. Hunger and thirst, they say, are the strongest desires that people have. That if you don't get enough food, that people will do anything to get something to eat. Or if you've gone so long without anything to drink, you'd do anything practically to get something to drink. But they describe the want that people have in their lives. The want of people in this world lost in sin, the wretchedness of the soul, desiring that there might be something that could satisfy that. I like the hymn that says, all my life long I had panted, based on our text this morning, for a drink, a draught is the word used, but it means a drink, it's an old English word, for a good drink of water, for a draught from some clear spring, which I hope could quench the yearning of the thirst I found within. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. That's it. It's the Lord Jesus that satisfies the heart. And every day those with the profane mouth, with the longing of an empty soul, no matter what they try in this world, it never satisfies. They wander down a road that goes nowhere, a life wasted in sin with no hope, no forgiveness, no salvation, and no righteousness. Just dirty, wicked, evil, hungry, thirsty. Who can satisfy that? None but Jesus. When we come to Him, you never hunger and thirst again. There's that great satisfaction. But here He told His people who are saved that there should be a hunger for righteousness in our heart. Not for those old things from where we came from, but for righteousness, to be right, to be right with Christ. And He said that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. We shall be filled, we shall be satisfied. Do we seek a changed life? Do we seek to grow in the Lord? We're commanded, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. We should be growing. Someone said, for the saved, there's never been a desire to be clean and holy that God was unwilling to supply. God is willing to help us to be clean and holy and to walk with Him. If you want this morning, if you want to be close to God, you can be. If you want to be right with others, you can be. If you want to serve the Lord in this world, if you want for your life to count for eternity, it can. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We'll be satisfied with serving the Lord in this world and living for Him. And indeed, we want to walk with Him. Look it back in your Bible, if you would please, to Psalm number 4. Psalm number 4 in your Bible. The Bible has so much to say about thirsting for Him and being satisfied with the Lord. Psalm 4 and verse 6. Here the Bible says, the psalmist says, there be many that say, who will show us any good? The word good there means something where there is happiness and satisfaction. There be many that say, where can you find something that is really good? Where can you find happiness in this world? People are turning to sin, believing that the pleasure of sin will give happiness, but the guilt of sin will ever keep there from being happiness in a person's life. Sin is not the answer. But God can give such happiness to our lives, such contentment in our soul. We looked this morning to the peace of God that can keep our hearts, that can guard us, guard our hearts in the Lord Jesus Christ. There be many that say, who will show us any good? And then this, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Ah, the countenance of God, God looking down. He says, if God lifts up His head and looks at me, and He does as a child of God. He does look to you. He looks to you as one of His own. In love and kindness, the Lord looks to you. The light of His countenance. What a description of the face of God. A light. Such a pleasure in your life if you're down and discouraged to have the light of God in your life. They say, who's going to show us anything that'll bring happiness? He said, Lord, just tip your face up and look at me for a minute. Let me enjoy the presence of your countenance. And then this he says, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. What is he saying? He's saying, well, they had a bumper crop one year. These lost people had a bumper crop. These people who live for farming, they had a crop that was beyond their expectations. Like they expect many of the harvests this year to be like that. And the time that their corn and their wine increased, they were happy because that's what they're wanting, material goods and the money that those things bring. But he says, when I look up and see the face of God and have the light of the presence of God, There is more to encourage me. There is more to satisfy my soul. In the presence of God, there is more than that they have ever had when they had the best crop they've ever had. When the stock market went up and they were rich and had so much money. When the business was booming and there were more customers than you could possibly take care of. And it just seemed like everything was going well. The psalmist said, I had more happiness in my life than they had when what they were living for turned out. When what they were living for panned out. I had more happiness and had more that satisfied my soul in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of God our Father, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time their corn and their wine increased. Have you got the gladness not derived from your career, not derived from your savings, not derived from your friends or the lack thereof? Have you got the gladness of the presence of God in your life? So wonderful to have that, and have that happiness, and to be growing, to be closer to the Lord, and walking with Him. One last thing from Psalm 17. Psalm 17, just over a few pages in your Bible. Psalm 17, verse 13, talking about the man who is greedy. In verse 13, excuse me. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life. Wait, stop there for a second. Men of the world that have their portion in this life. In other words, lost people who have nothing to look forward to except what they've got in this life. What happens when you die? We talked about dying the other day. One of the people I work with, one of the men I work with, had his father-in-law just passed away. That's a sad time. And when we learned what age he was, I said, standing there with the boss and one other man, I said, that's my age. You know, he just died of a massive heart attack. That's my age. And they both said, well, that's kind of our ages too. And so I said to them, I said, well, it pays to be ready to die, be prepared to die, because you never know when you're going to die. And men who have their portion in this life, you know, so many people have got nothing beyond this life. When they die, what then? They have no heaven. They have no reward. They have no father looking on them in love. They have no mansion to be in forever. They don't have streets of gold to walk on like we do. All they have is the flames of hell. Men who have their portion in this world, they have no, you say, but they have so much. What's wrong with your view? They have nothing. If they do not have Christ as their Savior, they have nothing. No matter what else they might have, they only have the portion of this world. And look in verse 14. And whose belly thou fillest with treasure. Well, they've got, they eat well. They are full of children. They have lots of children, and they leave the rest of their substance to their babes or to their grandchildren. Boy, they've got everything in life, right? You should envy people like that. They've got envy everything in life, right? No! Of course you should not envy people like that. What does he say? As for me, verse 15, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Once I go down to the grave, this sin nature is going to die with this body. And when I close my eyes in death, I will open them in the presence of God. And when I open my eyes, this is what I'm going to have, he says. I will behold thy face in righteousness. As for me, oh, you talk about all they have. He says, let me talk about what I have. One day I'm going to close my eyes for the last time. But when I open them, I will behold the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll behold the face of God the Father. I'll be in the presence of the Lord forevermore. As for me, he said, I've got something. They've got nothing. I've got what it really is. I'll behold thy face in righteousness. Watch this. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, yes, I'm going to die with still a lot of my likeness. I wish I could get rid of it. The old sinful me. But I'm going to be rid of it one of these days. When I die, I'll open my eyes and I will arise in his likeness. The likeness and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, never to sin again, never to feel guilt again, never to do wrong again, never to disappoint my Father, never ever to have something in my life sinful, wicked, and evil. How wonderful of a day that is. He said, I'll be satisfied. There's still something we're thirsting for. There's still something to finally be there. There's a lamb, the writer said, we sang, that is fairer than day. Is fairer than the most beautiful day you've ever lived through. Well, that's not even close to what heaven's going to be like. By faith, we can see it afar. Oh, yeah, we can see it. We're going home one of these days. Maybe today. Lord only knows. But I'll be satisfied, he said, when I wake with thy likeness. What's the problem with riches? Proverbs says the problem with riches is that the person who has riches is never satisfied with riches. And the person who has land is never satisfied with land. And no matter what you have on this world, you're never, ever satisfied. The child of God, we thirst after righteousness, but one day, one day I'm going to be perfect. Not perfect here, but one day I will be. Every one of us as children of the Lord, one day we will be perfect. And we'll be satisfied when we awaken in his likeness. Don't ever let the devil tell you that you'll be disappointed when you get to heaven. You won't be disappointed. You'll be satisfied. Matter of fact, I think we'll be more than satisfied. We will be overjoyed to see what God has prepared for us. I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus said. When I come, I may receive you unto myself. We're going to be with him forever and ever. A beautiful place called heaven. It's wonderful to live for the Lord. This world's strange and weird and fast-changing. And one doesn't know what to expect, but I know what to expect. I know I expect to be in heaven one of these days and be in the presence of the Lord. And all the things and the fears and the things people fill their life with, every night as we turn the news on, the lead story almost always is something about this COVID virus. I'm so tired of hearing about that. I like to hear about heaven. I like to know I'm going to be satisfied one day. I'm going to be thrilled to be in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures this morning. Thank you for each one who is able to come and be here. We pray you might bless us in this time with the joy of your presence. Help us to live thirsting for the presence of God, thirsting after righteousness, not thirsting for worldly things, and looking forward to the day when we'll be satisfied, when it's all done and we awake in your presence, Lord. We look forward to seeing you, Father. Bless each of these people here this morning. If there's someone here not saved, help them to turn to you and trust you. It's time to do business with God. The end is near. It's time not to fool around anymore, but to be serious about the things of God and take seriously the plan of salvation to be saved once and for all. Bless and encourage in every heart. Thank you for those who came a long way to be with us this morning. Bless and encourage them. Keep them safe. And have your hand on the pastor, Lord. We remember him as well. And we pray you will bless him in this hour and speak to him as well. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.